How is it possible for any true Christian to regard lightly so great a salvation that we have? The only reason that that would happen, loved one, is because they don't consider it to be a great salvation. It is a great salvation.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Monday, and thank you so much for joining us today. Pastor Bill continues his study in the epistle of 1 Peter today with the conclusion to the message, Our Great Salvation. Now, Pastor.
I learned more about patience and trials in those 15 years that I would never take far. It helped me to be a better pastor because what God did and what God allowed. Loved one, those things are so important. Listen, Peter says your faith is precious to God and it's going to be found to the glory and honor of our Father at the appearing, the revelation of Jesus Christ is appearing, the rapture. The catching away of the church, which could happen today, suddenly, a twinkling of an eye. Amen? We are living right now. Are we living in the last days? Boy, we are. And can I tell you something? The older you get, and I don't know if you're old as I am, okay? I can sit here and I can tell you, it is harder to live for Jesus today than it was 30 years ago, than it was 50 years ago. Because of the wickedness and the evil on every, I mean, no matter the radio or the internet is just, do you follow me? But loved one, listen, we live in a dead, decaying, decadent culture. I mean, it's a sewer of sin, loved one, the things that are happening. And listen, I know that I can honestly say my faith, and I know your faith is certainly being tested today. Listen, Jesus told us, he said, remember what he said in Luke's gospel? He says, when the Son of Man returns, will he really find faith? The Bible says that they're going to search. Will I find it? That means he was searching for it. When I come, is there any faith anywhere when he returns? See, those are the things that are happening right now. There are so many faithless believers. They're just going through the motions. And what we're seeing in these last days, did Jesus tell us that in the last days that the love of many would wax cold? Well, loved one, the love of the many is talking about the majority in the church, not the world. Like that word is agape, God's word. We're in that right this minute. So we have to be wise. And he says there, whom, verse 8, whom, meaning Jesus, you haven't seen, but you love. Agape, you continually love him. Though now you do not see him, we don't see Jesus, yet believing in our Lord, it says, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now, the people to whom Peter was writing, they had not seen the Lord. Had Peter seen the Lord? Yes. Man, he knew the Lord. He was an eyewitness of his majesty, his healings, his earthly ministry, his resurrection, ascension, all the rest of it. He knew Jesus personally. And so believing here, Jesus is indeed the object always of our faith. Amen. Remember the Gospel of John? I mentioned it, I think, last Sunday, you know, about Thomas. You know, he didn't believe. I mean, he didn't believe he was risen from the dead. And Jesus walked into that room and said, oh, Thomas, don't be faithless, but be believing. Remember? He says, put your finger in there. Put it in my side and so forth. He says, oh, my Lord and my God. That's a wonderful profession of faith. But Jesus turned around and said, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. Amen. That's what it's all about. Loved one, listen, how can a Christian love Jesus whom they have never seen? I've not seen our Lord, but I know him. You know what I'm saying? I know he's real. I mean, here we are. We're loving someone we've never seen. We're worshiping someone we've never seen. And we're saying, and we tell people about someone we've never seen, amen? And so how in the world do we do that? Well, number one, our love is not based on sight, is it? What did Jesus just say? Blessed are those who have not seen him yet believe. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. So what happens when the Holy Spirit, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are a new creation. Amen? And something happens to you. See, the Holy Spirit makes Jesus, heaven, God the Father, prayer, study in the Bible, real to you. Amen? And the reason is that is because it says in Romans 8:15 and 16, it says, whereby we have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry out, Abba, Father, where our spirits bears witness with his spirit that we are indeed the sons and daughters of God. Amen? That's who we are. See, man, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. But there's something else that happened. We have in us, whether you believe it or not, if you are a Christian, if you are born again, you have in you, living in you right this minute, the highest form of love in the entire universe. Romans 5:5, and this hope does not disappoint, for the love of God, the love of God, the Father, his supernatural love, has been poured out upon you lavishly, okay? And matter of fact, in the Greek, it would be continues to be poured out by the Holy Spirit who has been given unto you. That's why you can love people. That's why you can forgive people. You can't forgive in the flesh. The old man doesn't forgive anything or forget anything. But when you're born again, you put that rubbish aside. Why? The love of God is in you. You start forgiving other people as Jesus. You start loving other people as he loved. Why? You're being transformed from glory to glory into his image, his Christ-likeness. How? By the Holy Spirit, loved one. So he says, you haven't seen him, but look what you do, man. You rejoice with what? Joy inexpressible. It literally, let me read it literally from the Greek. It literally means shouting for joy that cannot be contained, inexpressible, only here in the New Testament. It means that human language cannot express it. And it's all full of glory. Man, we're supposed to be glorying now, not when we get to heaven. Amen? Why? The object of our faith, who is it? It's Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. And he says, oh, look what we're receiving. And that means we've already received it. So it's a foretaste of heaven, if you will, a foretaste of glory. Receiving the end of your what? Your faith, the conclusion, the divine plan. It's over. Your home, the salvation of your souls. That means we have a face-to-face meeting with Jesus. Amen. See, right now, we're in the process of sanctification. It is a lifelong process till the day you die. And God is working in you, okay? But here, it's glorification. And 1 John 3:2 says, when we see him, when he appears, and he may appear today, when we see him, we will be like him. And that's what's going to happen. And so he says now about this incredible salvation. Look at verse 10. Of this salvation, everything that we've been talking about, the prophets have inquired, meaning the Old Testament prophets, they've inquired and they searched carefully. Remember what I told you about that word searched? It's a picture in the Greek language of a lion or a hound dog or a tiger smelling the ground, following the scent of the person or little bunny rabbit it wants to eat, okay? So that's what they're saying right here. This salvation was so great, man. They were searching through everything with the greatest care. And what were they searching for? What they had already prophesied, what they had already written down by the power of the Holy Spirit, that divine revelation. And what was it? Look at it. Well, they prophesied the grace that would come to you, the gospel of grace, the grace that we are standing in right now. Look what they were searching for. Searching what? Or what manner of time. They were trying to find the appointed time that this incredible grace was to come to this planet, if you will, that would usher in this great salvation. Remember what I told you last Sunday, they had no clue about the church. Even though Jeremiah, he recorded the new covenant, remember, in Jeremiah 31, verses 33 through 34? But he did so with a Jewish mindset. He didn't do it with a Gentile mindset, and he didn't have any clue that there was going to be a church, all right? Now, searching what, they're trying to find out, look at it, what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, again, that's the pre-existent Spirit of God, who was in them, so they were writing by inspiration, the Old Testament is inspired just like the New Testament, who was in them, and look what was happening, was indicating when he testified, or when he predicted beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glories, literally the glories of Christ, that would follow. You know, I said this the last time, I believe, but this always gets to me, because the Spirit of Christ was telling them about Christ. Isn't that wild? And so he was pointing them forward to a unique time that remained hidden, if you will, hidden in God and hidden from the New Testament, if you will. Now, and that was the birth of the church. They didn't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't understand the sufferings of Christ, even though they had Psalm 22, where Jesus cried out on the cross, "They have pierced my hands and my feet." They should have known. So that was the sufferings of Christ. And he was wounded, Isaiah 53, wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah 11 talks about the glories that are coming, the millennial reign of Christ, when the lion will lay down with the lamb, and all those things will happen. So the Old Testament prophets, they didn't understand how a suffering Messiah could usher in the kingdom of God. Now, it says in verse 12, to them it was revealed. To the Old Testament prophets, now it was revealed, very important, listen carefully, but not to themselves. Do you know how that must have hurt their heart? I mean, going, "Oh, you've got to be kidding me." They're so disappointed. It wasn't revealed to them, but who was it revealed to? Peter says, it was revealed to us, the apostles. So the Old Testament prophets predicted it, but the apostles in the New Testament, they preached what they predicted. It says they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. These things angels desire to look in. The gospel, the good news, Romans 1:16. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth. Amen? Yes. So the Old Testament prophets, just think what they predicted. Did they predict that the Messiah would have an eternal throne from the seed of David? Absolutely. Did they predict the place of his birth? Yes, they did. Did they predict that he'd be born of a virgin? Yes, but they didn't get it. Did they predict? They even predicted his name, Emmanuel, God with us. All of those things, loved one. They even predicted the second coming, but they didn't understand that either. Remember Zechariah, 14:4? When Jesus returns, his feet will set down on the Mount of Olives. Now, the Old Testament prophets, they even predicted, and they didn't get it, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They predicted Pentecost, meaning the birth of the church. Remember when Peter preached that first message? And he says in Acts 2:15, and I'm not going to read it all, but it's Acts 2:15 through 21. It says, Peter says, "Hey, these people are not drunk." Remember, they were speaking in other tongues and all of that. "As you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day," here he comes, "but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." All the way back 853 B.C. that was prophesied. "It'll come to pass on the last day," say God, "I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh." Man, listen. And he says, "Hey, man, angels, they desire to look into what's happening in the church. Man, they look at us," and he goes, they're literally blown away at our salvation. It says there, look at it, "which angels desire to look into." That's present tense in the Greek, meaning they continually observe. They're blown away at what they're seeing. They're trying to figure everything out. They're in awe because they're spectators of you and me. It says in Ephesians 3:9 about this mystery that's coming, that's been hidden from the ages, that's been hidden in God who created all things through Christ Jesus. So meaning the church was hidden from the Old Testament prophets. "To the intent now that the manifold wisdom of God may be made known by the church," here it comes, "to the principalities and powers." That means to the angels, loved one. So here, angels, I mean, they've been in the presence of God all of their existence, and they look at you, they look at the church from the birth of the church, even to this very moment, they're looking at you right now. Every believer through the ages, they watch. They look at how God's grace comes upon you and how the gifts that God's given you and how God guides you and you don't know it and the Holy Spirit is leading you. They look in amazement and they go, "I can't believe God picked these people." Come on. Man, they're blown away when we don't trust God. They're blown away when we don't study the Bible, when we don't believe, and they go, "They don't believe God. They don't believe God." You think about that. They are blown away. What is that mystery? Well, the Bible tells us the mystery in Colossians 1:26 and 27. What is that mystery that's been hidden from time began? It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery, the King of Kings living in your heart. Amen? That's what the Old Testament prophets, they searched carefully for that time. They wanted to be a part of that. Angels are in awe of all that's happening. Now listen, I asked this question the last time we were together. How is it possible for any true Christian to give little attention or regard lightly so great a salvation that we have? The only reason that that would happen, loved one, is because they don't consider it to be a great salvation. It is a great salvation. I want you to look back now at verse 6 just for a moment. In this, in our great salvation, in this, you, Christian, jump for joy. You shout for joy. You greatly rejoice, though for a little while, if need be. Oh, yeah, you have been grieved. You're heavy. You're hurting. You're in sorrow by various trials. Now, listen to me very carefully. We've been commanded to stand. 1 Peter 5:12, remember, stand. Persevere in grace. Now, how to stand in God's grace no matter what you face in life. This is very important. No matter what you face, how do you do it? I want to give you just a couple of scriptures, if you don't mind, that have always melted my heart. And I certainly don't want to get emotional about it right now. But I think, oh God, I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and I want you to let me just read from verse 31 and following. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, 32 now. He who did not spare his own son delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is God who justifies? Who is he who condemns? Is Christ who died? Furthermore, is risen, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, no matter what you are going through in your life, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, things present nor things to come, height or depth or any created thing. Did you catch that? No matter what anything can be created that's not existing right now shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen very carefully. How do we stand no matter what we face in life? I just read it to you, but I want you to look at verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now listen to me. Are you going through it right now? Are you suffering? Are you listening to me around the world and you're living in a country where Christians are being persecuted? Listen to me now very carefully. It says, if God be for us, this is just not anyone in the world. Do you understand this? This is God himself, meaning God says, I'm for you. All that he is, all that God has, he says, I'm for you. Listen to me now. God, was God for you in eternity? Yes, he chose you before time ever began. He chose you in eternity. Is God for you in what we call time? Is God going to be for you when time is no more? Yes, why? God is for you. He will always be for you. Look at verse 32. Listen to this very carefully. This verse is vital to get into your heart. He who did not what? That word spare literally means that God has given us the greatest gift that he could ever give. God did not spare what? His own son, but delivered him up. He put him on the cross. He took the sins of the world, our sins. He took our place, our death. He died as me and for me. Amen? For us all. Now look. How shall he not with Jesus, with him, also freely give us what? All things, plural, and it literally speaks of all the provision that we need. What did Jesus tell us? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? Now listen to me. Whatever you're facing, this is what I do with this scripture. Whatever I'm facing, whatever you're facing in your life, don't forget what God just said. Let me read it again. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him freely give us all things? What did God just say? He says to you, are you in a trial right now? God says to you, he says, you are worth my son. Do you hear that? That's what he's saying. He's saying, you are worth God's son. That's what God thinks of you. That's how much he loves you. He says, God looks at you. He says, I see you. And you're saying, I'm falling apart. I don't know. No. God says, listen to me. God says to you, no. You are worth my son. That's where I get my strength. And I say, oh, Lord, thank you. I don't know why, but thank you. Why you even would want anyone like, but thank you. I want you to listen to me. We're closing, but I want you to listen to me as I read a modern day version of the scripture from Romans that I just read to you. I just like it. This modern day translation goes like this. I'm reading again from Romans 8:35 and following. God, I may fall flat on my face. I may fail until I feel old and beaten and done in. Yet, your love for me is changeless. All the music may go out of my life, and my private world may shatter into dust. Even so, you will hold me in the palm of your steady hand. No turn in affairs of my fractured life can baffle you. Satan, with all his arrogant bragging, cannot distract you. Nothing can separate me from your measureless love. Pain can't, disappointment can't, anguish can't, yesterday can't, today can't, tomorrow can't. The loss of my dearest love can't. Death can't, life can't, riots, wars, insanity, hunger, neurosis, disease. None of these things, nor all of them heaped together, can budge the fact that I am dearly loved, completely forgiven, forever free through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. Listen to me. We talk about a great salvation. It comes from a great Savior, from a great cost. A great cost is blood, from a great penalty, our sin. Amen. You know, maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're playing church. Maybe you're listening live and you don't even know Christ. Or here, you don't know the Lord. You act like you know the Lord, but you're not living for Christ. You're still living for you. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross daily, and then you have to follow me. That's a command. So if you don't know the Lord this morning, like I told you last Sunday, remember, there's only one thing that can stop the God of this universe. There's only one thing that can stop the Holy Spirit. There's only one person, one thing that can prevent Jesus from entering into your heart. And that's a heart that will not believe in him. If you will believe in him this morning, if you don't know Christ, do you live any lies? Do you on the radio? Listen to me now. He will save you. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and every Christian praying, if that's you, if Christ is not your Lord, if you're not living for Christ, you want to come to him now. You say, Bill, how do we do that? If you'll lift your hand, you don't have to get out of your chair, but you have to lift your hand in faith and say, Bill, I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want to be saved. I want heaven to be my home. I want to be forgiven. If that's you, put it up and put it right back down, and I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to close this service out. Don't fight against God. Come to him now, that's you.
Pastor's series in 1 Peter continues all this week, and we hope you'll join us once again. Thank you for listening to Love Never Fails today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. Or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.